Today on Know the Truth, a lesson from Philip DeCourcy.
There are many things that you and I can do without, but Solomon argues here in Proverbs 4 that wisdom is one of those things that you dare not act without and dare not live apart from. In all your seeking, find it. In all your getting, possess it. In all your desiring, wish it. This concept of living skillfully, I mean, who can put a price on that?
Welcome to Know the Truth. I'm your host, Wayne Shepherd, and today Philip continues a series in the book of Proverbs. Long ago, King Solomon wrote these words so we would understand the importance of pursuing wisdom in order to live healthy and peaceful lives. And today, we'll learn how these ancient, time-tested truths are as relevant as ever. It's a message called You Have Got to Get It, and if you missed the first part of this lesson, it's available at ktt.org and on the KTT app. Now, let's join Pastor Philip.
I want to encourage you, as you and I read the book of Proverbs, there is a certain way to read this book. There are certain things you need to be careful with, because if you're not careful, you can actually twist the book of Proverbs to your own destruction and your own despair, and you will not harvest its benefit. Now, let me give you some tips here. I've borrowed some of these, found some of them myself, but I've borrowed some of them and I've adopted them from one of my professors at Master's Seminary, Dr. Richard Mayhew, who's got a wonderful little book called Practicing Proverbs. Here's tip number one. Bear in mind that no proverb or section in Proverbs intends to be exhaustive. They are not unabridged. They are not the last word in any subject. So if the book of Proverbs addresses the issue of drinking, or addresses the issue of raising your children, or it addresses the issue of wise financial practices, understand that these are pungent, pithy little statements that get to the kernel of something that's important, but they don't say everything that needs to be said. There are qualifications. There are circumstances in which that proverb is not necessarily as profitable. You understand what I'm saying? These are brief, catchy statements of wisdom. Let me try and help you grasp what I'm saying. Let's take a proverb we're all familiar with. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Is that true? I mean, just as a bold technical statement, if you just eat an apple a day, you'll never have to see the doctor. No, it's not true. You can spend every day with Granny Smith and you'll still have to meet Dr. Jones. No, it's a truism. It's trying to say this: eat healthily and it'll be good for you. That's the truth behind it. It's not saying everything that can be said about that subject, and you shouldn't read it that way or think about it that way. Just read it for what it is. It's a good little maxim, a good little truism. Eat your fruit and vegetables and you'll be healthy and stronger for it. It doesn't mean that you won't catch the cold. It doesn't mean that you'll be immune from the flu. It doesn't mean you'll stem the march of old age. That's not the point of a proverb. You see, if you read the Proverbs too literally, you'll miss the point. I mean, if you're going to pick that little statement apart, you'd have to expand it to this kind of statement. An apple a day, as well as other fresh fruit, will not always keep the doctor away, but will in general give you improved health so long as you do not eat green apples or eat them unwashed. And keep in mind that during the winter, you may not be able to find apples, but there will be residual health benefits from eating fresh fruit in moderation whenever you can. You know, who's going to remember that statement? Now, a proverb is short and pithy. It gets you to the kernel of the matter, and you just got to understand that's its purpose. Don't be trying to pick it apart. Which leads me to a second point, very important if you're going to study the book of Proverbs. Proverbs are principles. They are not promises. Proverbs are generalizations. They are not technical statements of truth. One writer says this: a promise is a contract full of words that clarify details, plug loopholes, and attempt to eliminate all possibility of misunderstanding. This is not what we have in a proverb. It is more like a bumper sticker. Words are kept to a minimum and are chosen for their impact. The proverb is written to be remembered, not to say all there is to say on a given subject. Folks, please remember this. You will save yourself some hurt if you'll understand that Proverbs is not to be taken as absolutely and unconditionally as in terms of a promise. It is a good and general statement that's helpful to you if you live it out. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, because I've had to deal with it. And maybe you've wrestled with this, those of you who have gone through the pain of a disobedient child or a prodigal son. And you did all you could. You sought to live out Jesus Christ before them. You brought them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You set them in Sunday school every Sunday. They sat with you through worship throughout the Lord's day. And then at some point they departed and you said to yourself, but Proverbs said in Proverbs 22 verse 6, that if I'll bring up a child in the way he should go when he is old, he'll not depart from the way. But it's not a promise. It's a general statement. It's a principle. That's generally true. But you see, little Johnny has to submit to other principles of wisdom for that principle of wisdom to work out itself in his life to be true. So be careful with the book of Proverbs. They are principles, guidelines, general statements. They are not promises. Number three, you need to spend some time or spend some time with someone who has spent the time interpreting this book in terms of its literature, its culture, and its historical setting. You and I are going to read this book, and there's going to be some words and some phrases. We're going to say, what in the world is that all about? Well, we need to get back into the history of Solomon's time. We need to look at the other wisdom literature like Job and Ecclesiastes to see if that sheds some light on that phrase or that use of a particular word. You and I need to understand this book within its own context, within the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And then we need to compare scripture with scripture. So we need to bear that in mind. We need to watch these figures of speech and make sure we've done our homework, lest again we misunderstand the point of the proverb. Tip number four, and this is a very practical one. If a proverb is unclear, read it in another version or a good Bible translation. Here's my advice to you. Start to read the book of Proverbs in something like the King James, the New King James, or the NASB. They are the more literal translations. But once you've done that, and maybe a text isn't that clear, read an NIV or read a New Living Translation or reading perhaps Eugene Peterson's The Message. These translations try and catch some of the pictures behind the words in the biblical text. And so it's good to have a couple of versions and translations of Scripture before you as you read the book of Proverbs. They'll help you in and of itself. Also, you need to probably buy yourself a good commentary. It's an old commentary, but it's still helpful. It's Charles Bridges' old commentary on Proverbs, an old Puritan, but it's still worth buying. But I'd recommend you one little volume by a man by the name of Robert Alden. It's called Just the Proverbs. It's done by Baker House, and it's a very short little commentary, but it will give you something on every single proverb in the book of Proverbs. Tip number five. Be careful not to use Proverbs with personal motive for selfish gain, but rather for achieving spiritual maturity and wisdom in order to glorify God. And what I mean by that, this book is very practical. It speaks to raising children. It speaks to relationships. It speaks to financial well-being. It speaks to business practices. But what's my motive in reading it? It better be so that I can order my life in a particular way that God is most greatly glorified in me as I find myself most deeply satisfied in Him. I hope you're not coming to the book of Proverbs to say, you know what? I want to earn that best mother in the World Cup. Or I want to be a millionaire before I'm 40, and the book of Proverbs is going to help me do that. But some Christians have viewed the book of Proverbs like that. They have kind of seen it as a sanctified version of how to win friends and influence people. But that's not the focus of the book. In fact, the most reoccurring theme in this book is the fear of God, the fear of God, the fear of God. That is the beginning of wisdom, which reminds us that this book is all about righteous conduct, not worldly ambition. Why do I want to study the book of Proverbs? Because I want to live a life that's skillful and reflects the beauty and order of my Father in heaven. I want to bring glory to him through the good works that I do, through the good wisdom I receive. Okay, let's begin to look at wisdom itself. I want us to look at the supremacy of wisdom. I want us to look at the skill of wisdom, and then we want to look at the sources. Let me reinforce again to you that what we're talking about and what we're going to learn in this book is essential and critical to you and I. There are many things that you and I can do without, but Solomon argues here in Proverbs 4, verse 5 through 7, that wisdom is one of those things that you dare not act without and dare not live apart from. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get it, he says, in all you're getting. In all you're seeking, find it. In all you're getting, possess it. In all you're desiring, wish it. Because it's that important. It's that supreme in terms of its value. In fact, that's why wisdom is likened to treasure throughout this book. This concept of living skillfully. I mean, who can put a price on that? Look at what the writer says in Proverbs 3 and verse 13. We read it earlier. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. All things you may desire cannot compare with her. Look at Proverbs 8 and verse 11. Similar thought. For wisdom is better than rubies and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. More valuable to me than that. I'm going to hear about how to live skillfully and successfully for God's glory according to God's word. That's how supreme in value wisdom is. It's to be pursued like buried treasure. Go back to chapter 2. Verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wisdom here is being likened to hidden, buried treasure. So go get your spade. And spend some time digging in the soil of Proverbs this week, and we'll look for the hidden treasures of God's wisdom. That'll be good for us, good for our children, good for our church. Why it is so imperative that you and I pursue our search for wisdom? Why is this a supreme issue? And why is wisdom the supreme thing? Number one, because of the complexity of life. Folks, I don't know about you, but I need wisdom. In fact, James, whose book has been called the Proverbs of the New Testament, says at the very beginning of his book, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. That's a rhetorical question in the Greek text that actually already has an answer embedded within it. If a man lacks wisdom, and he will, let him ask God. Folks, you and I are going to get over our heads in life. There's just no doubt about it. Life doesn't just stack up in some neat order and people don't always cooperate the way we would wish. And therefore, if we're going to make sense of life and we're going to make something of our lives, we need to master the skill of good choices, good actions, and good reactions. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. It's going to help you to negotiate and navigate the narrow straits of life. It's going to wait for you at the crossroads and junctions of decision-making. What do I do in this situation, Pastor? Well, this is the book that speaks to all those issues. This is a compendium of moral and spiritual instruction from the observations of the most godly of men. This is truth that has been time-tested. This is truth that will help us live better. You see, life does not come pre-assembled, does it? It takes time and thought. Man does not come pre-programmed. He has to learn. Life's too complex and compressed. What are you to do as a young father? What are you to do as you seek out yourself a wife? What are you to do in that business context when everybody else is doing what is wrong, but you know you need to do what is right? What do you do? The complexity of life urges us to seek pearls of wisdom from the necklace of the book of Proverbs. And secondly, the urgency of time. Life is a play. and we're thrust onto the stage of life and there's no time to rehearse. Isn't that true? We make our debut on the stage of life at birth. We play our respective roles at the prompting of providence. And then before we know it, we leave the stage through death to either cheers or boos. Because we'll either have done something with our lives that counted or we'll have made a right royal mess of our lives and others. Will it be a cheer? Will it be a boo? We don't have a lot of time to learn a new script. And we have had no time to rehearse our lines. We're in great need of wisdom. We're in great need of insight. You only get one shot at life. That's why over in Ephesians 5, Paul says this, Ephesians 5 and verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do not be unwise. Understand what the will of God is." We've got to buy up our opportunities. And wisdom gives us spiritual opportunism. It helps us to act with the maximum impact upon our lives. You and I need wisdom. We're not sure of our lines. We don't have a lot of time to relearn them. And we need the wisdom of others. And we need the insights of God. And we need the compass of His Word. And we need the guidance of His Spirit. Because of the complexity of life and the urgency of time, you only get one shot at it. You can make a right royal mess of it, can't you? We're in desperate, desperate need of wisdom. Final thought and we're done. The complexity of life and the urgency of time and the depravity of man reminds us that we need wisdom. You know what the book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 22 and verse 15? We'll probably look at this someday when we look at disciplining our children. "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it from him." You know what that verse is saying? It is saying that man is born with a kind of madness in his heart. He's got a heart that's like one of those wheels at Walmart. It's stuck and it drives you where you don't want to go. It's perverse. It's crooked. Such is the heart of man. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. Your child may have an angelic face, but it's a little devil on the inside. And you better start applying the rod and driving the foolishness from its heart. We'll get to that. But the point is this, that sin so corrupts the mind of man from birth that it makes him think that wrong is right. Proverbs 14 verse 2, what do we read? We read this, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death." Left to himself without the wisdom and insight of God and God's people and God's word, men will choose foolish things. They will think they're right. They will become proud and arrogant and unteachable. Listen to Proverbs 21 and verse 2. "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts." See, that's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, "Lean not on your own understanding." Now, that verse isn't advocating that Christians should be mindless or thoughtless. But it does remind us that we should not lean on our natural understanding, because our natural understanding has been corrupted by sin and clouded and corrupted. And our mind must be informed by the revelation of God. We need the illumination and the light of divine revelation if we're to see straight and if we're to walk uprightly. So we're not to lean on our own understanding, because according to Ephesians 4 verse 17 and 18, man's understanding has been darkened. And he's not to lean on his own understanding, he's to acknowledge God in all his ways and God will direct his path. God's word will be a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. And why do you and I need to come and learn from the book of Proverbs? Because life is complex. Time is running out. We only get one shot at it. And you know what? Apart from the grace and guidance of God, we would make a right royal dog's dinner of our lives. In fact, it reminds us that wisdom, biblically speaking, is often the opposite of your natural inclination. We desperately need God's wisdom and insight. Let me finish with this story. It's a story regarding Socrates, the famous philosopher of a bygone generation. He was a rather large and strong gentleman, and one particular day, a young buck came to him and asked him, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge." Socrates recognized the insincerity and the immaturity of this young man's request. He understood that he was a pompous numbskull, and so he grabbed the young man and they began walking through the streets down to the seashore. And to the young man's surprise, Socrates waded into the water with the young man up to his chest. "What do you want?" said Socrates. "Knowledge, O wise one." And at that, Socrates grabbed him and pushed him under the water. 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and he pulled him up. Dripping and drenched, Socrates asked him again, "What do you want?" The young man spluttered, "O great one, I need wisdom." Again, Socrates bent him over and pushed him under the water. 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. Pulls him up. The young man's breathless. He said, "What do you want?" The young man screeched, "Air. I need air." And Socrates kind of said to him in other words, "Here endeth the lesson." He needed to bring this young man to a state of understanding that he needed to pursue knowledge and wisdom like a drowning man gasping for air. God is the air we breathe, and we need to be desperate for him. We need to be as desperate for those things that God gives, wisdom being one of them. What breath is to the body, wisdom is to the soul, and we desperately need it. Buy it, pursue it, find it, guard it, woo it, cherish it, for it is the principle.
Yes, there are a few things that will benefit us more in life than gaining true wisdom. And we can start by pursuing the truth in God's Word. You're listening to Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy. Visit ktt.org to hear this message again or to purchase the complete set of CDs in our series in Proverbs titled, That Makes Good Sense. You'll also find this series on the KTT app and KTT podcast for easy listening while you're out and about. Just search for Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy in your favorite app or podcast store on your mobile device. It's possible you're listening today desperate for wisdom about the future. Perhaps you even find yourself lying awake at night worrying about what tomorrow will bring. Well, Philip DeCourcy has chosen a resource that will give you a firsthand account on how to trust God, even when circumstances tell you not to. It's titled God versus Government, and this book follows two brave churches in their decisions to remain open during the pandemic, despite government orders to close. This book will give believers biblical insight on what it looks like to take a courageous stand in the face of opposition. You can request yours with a gift of any amount by calling 888-644-8811 or give online at ktt.org. Or if you'd prefer to write, send it to Know the Truth, Post Office Box 30250, Anaheim Hills, California, 92809. And then there's another resource we'd like you to have, and this one's free. If you're new to Know the Truth or have never contacted us before, it's titled 7 Days of Truth, Resting in God's Daily Sufficiency. Learn more about it at ktt.org. And before you go, be sure to stay up to date on upcoming events, ministry announcements, fellowship opportunities, and more. Just look for us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter by searching for Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us tomorrow when Philip begins part two of today's message titled, You've Got to Get It. That's Wednesday on Know the Truth. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Know the Truth Incorporated. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."